produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
And we want to continue on this series just dealing with the blueprint. Shout the blueprint. The blueprint, that's what we want to talk about. On last week, we dealt with four different limits on our life that keeps our blueprint and that we know we can overcome. And one of the limits that we had was limited resources are always overcome. And I just want to give a quick rewind. Limited resources can always be overcome. Limited knowledge can always be overcome. In other words, if you don't have the resources, the money, if you don't have the credit, it can always be overcome. You can't sell God short. Limited knowledge can always be overcome because God will raise up someone that's wiser than you or have the ability that you don't have to be able to help and assist you do what you're unable to do. So limited knowledge can always be overcome. But then limited opportunities can always be overcome. Because remember, we talked about on last week, all I need is just one opportunity. If you give me one opportunity, all I need is just one door to open. If I get one door open, that's all I need. So I understand that limited opportunities can be overcome. But then number four, we discovered limited credentials can always be overcome. Limited credentials. And whatever your resume says or does not say, or however you feel about yourself, the good news is that God can allow just one word to change your situation. You don't believe me? Remember, David was a little ruddy kid. And remember, David in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and 17 is out there in the field. And the Bible says that that when Samuel showed up to Jesse's house, the oil didn't run on none of the other brothers the way it should. But remember what happens. David is the one that's outside of the house. And Jesse has forgot he's even gotten David. And the Bible says that Samuel says, do you have any other children? Because this oil ain't flowing on these boys the right way. And he says, oh, I got one other kid, but he's a ruddy fella. He's small in countenance. He's young. And he says, well, we got to wait on him because the oil ain't flowing on them. The Bible says that they go get David, and as soon as David comes in the house, he does not get cleaned up. He's still dirty, smelling like outdoors, and they place the oil on David, and as the oil flows, it flows exactly the way it's supposed to flow. And then Jesse has to realize that the very one I overlooked is the very one that God looked at. I need to tell somebody in here that you're thinking that you need credentials to overcome your situation. No, all you need is for God to show up in your life. Am I talking to anybody that knows that if God shows up, that's all I need? So limited credentials can be overcome, but we understand with the blueprint, and we talked about a few things. We talked about that we got to change. We got to look at our perspective, our perspective. We got to see our future as God sees our future. We can no longer look at life and talk about how many losses we have. Because all I need is to win just one time. Okay, so you got to change your perspective. If you're going to have a blueprint, you also got to change your passion. Look at somebody shout, you need some passion. In other words, you can't be lack of energy and have lethargy. You've got to have some passion about yourself and what you're doing. You can't just sit down and hope that things are going to get better. You got to have some get up and go about yourself. Look at somebody, tell them you got to have some passion. But then where we got hung up on last week was priority. We talked about in Matthew 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all the other stuff God adds to us. So when we have our priority with God right, we understand God adds everything we need. But notice, not only do we need our priority with God right, what I did not get to on last week, we need our priority with our family right as well. Many of us, we put everything before our family, but your family has to be next after God. So you put God first, then you put your family, and watch how blessings line up in your life. So you got to have priority. Look at somebody, shout priority. Got to put your priorities right. In other words, you can't save everybody else and not have salvation in your own house. You can't party with everybody and then talk about you finna win souls with people. You can't serve God and the devil. You got to choose one, because one you're going to love and one you're going to hate. So there's the law of priority. Where I wanted to get to today is the law of petition. Shout the law of petition. In my blueprint, I've got to have petition. Well, petition says, it simply says this, I seek God in prayer and devotion. I want to read a scripture in Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. It reads, I'm reading this from the King James Version. It says, call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you did not know. Notice what God is saying. He says, when you call unto me, I will answer you. Somebody needs to be clear on that, that when you pray to God, God answers our prayer. Now, he may not answer the way you want to you want it answered, but he does answer our prayer. But he says, I'm going to show you great and mighty things which you don't know. Okay, y'all missed it. So let me see if I can make that clear. When you're praying to God, God allows revelation to take place in your prayer time, and after you've gotten up, he allows revelation and he shows you mighty things, things that you wouldn't ordinarily find out. And many of us, the reason why we're missing out and have missed out on so much of what God has for us is because we're not taking the time to talk to God. You've got to talk to God, because when you talk to God, God talks back to you. Y'all missed it, didn't you? When you talk to God, it is not just a monologue. It is a dialogue, because God speaks back to us. Notice how he does it. His scripture says, I will talk back to you. I'm going to show you great and mighty things. Things which you ordinarily would miss if you were not talking to me. I know why you're so quiet. You're quiet because you've missed out on a whole lot, because you're not having conversations with God. You're having conversations with people. Some of us need to learn how to shut down the conversations with people and turn up the conversation with God. I hear you saying, well, Pastor, I don't have that many years left in my life. I'm towards the twilight years of my life. Let me help you out. God will bless you more in the next few years of you living than you could ever imagine if you just turn and trust him. God will open windows of heaven and he'll pour you out blessings that there won't be room enough to receive. And let me help you out. Not only will he bless you, he'll also bless those that are connected to you. You see, I don't want to be the only one blessed. I want everybody around me blessed. In other words, my prayers are not just for me, but my prayers are for others as well. Because if others are blessed, then God knows how to bless them and then bless their others. So there is the law of petition. A.W. Tozer says it this way in his book, Going Higher with God. He says, in prayer, we should experience God. In other words, we should always experience God in prayer. And prayer should be time that we designate with God, for God, and time that is unrushed. It amazes me. Church, God, is one of the few things we put a time limit on. You didn't put a time limit on the Super Bowl last week. You sat there from 5 o'clock to 9 p.m. You had one bathroom break. With all that stuff you was drinking and eating. And you didn't once complain and get up and say, this game is too long. You come to church for 2 hours at best, and you looking at your watch, holding your neck, whispering to folk, he got that long spirit today, don't. Church is the only place you come, you're in a rush to get out of. Young ladies, when you go shopping, listen, if Janine says to me on a Saturday, hey boo, I automatically have conditioned myself to say, well, drop me off at the house. Because one store never means one store. Okay, I'm just gonna go to one other store. Then we go to one other store. You act like I always ask you to go somewhere. I don't ask you to go that many places. Yeah, but you said one store. It's been three. And y'all have seen me. I'll say, please help me. Y'all have seen me put it on Facebook. Please come help me. Come, somebody come get me. I've been held hostage. And it's not that I don't enjoy the time, but she ain't buying me nothing. How does it look on me? Oh, how it look on you. It look good. Just get it. Young ladies don't have a problem shopping all day. But you come to the church. Okay. So we understand. We need to be more tolerable when it comes to the things of God. You can get on a phone call and you can stay on the phone call 45 minutes talking about people, places, and things in that order. And end it talking about people.
and you don't have an issue. You're sitting there, you're entertaining. Matter of fact, you'll get off the phone and you'll call, girl, I forgot to tell you. After 45 minutes, you had something you didn't say? But let's not have a prayer meeting. And please don't let it go over 15 minutes. Because I got somewhere to be. I don't see how people pray that long. What they talking about? That's the same question I ask about people that can have a 45-minute long conversation on the phone. Because if you can have that length of a conversation on the phone with a person, certainly you can talk to your Father in heaven and converse with him longer than 45 seconds. Well, I get sleepy. So you're saying the God of the universe, the one who made everything that is, you're saying he's boring? In prayer, we should experience God. Here's the second thing about prayer. Prayer is not merely emotional. It is also experiential. In other words, stop getting emotional in your prayers. Many of us, we get so emotional and let our emotions get tied up until if we don't feel emotional, we didn't feel God. God does not move the same way all the time. He's God. He has a right to be unique at all times. Stop placing God in a box and wanting him to make you emotional because you have emotional problems. Experience with God should be experiential. In other words, I trust God enough to talk to me, to show me, whether it's in dream or whether it's a vision or whether it's by person or whether I'm driving down the street or whether I'm reading a billboard or reading a magazine. I trust God to speak to me and give me the creativity that I need to continue doing the things he's assigned for me to do. Need God to be experiential. Don't make God only move by emotions. While the spirit was high, I just didn't feel nothing. Maybe God is saying to you, he didn't feel nothing when you spent time with him this week. Let me move on. Prayer is not merely emotional, but experiential. But here's the third thing about the law, when we look at the blueprint and law of petition. Prayer is what gets us to where God wants us to go. I'm talking to some people in this room that if you would pray more, seek God more, there's so much more that God wants to do with you and through you, you just got to open up and trust God. Because your communication with God is what's going to get you to where God wants us to go. Luke 18 and 1 says, man ought to always pray and not give up. Don't faint. Don't quit. Don't stop. Don't go a day without talking to God. And even when you feel as though you don't have time to make for God, you make time to talk to God if you're driving down the street. Sitting there in the car communicating with somebody else, just tell them to be quiet for a minute. You need a minute to get your thoughts together. And you can pray while somebody else is still present. You can sit there and talk to God even then. You've got to learn that your communication, my meditation with God, has nothing to do with people around me. I can be in a room with a hole full of people and still talk to God. You've got to communicate with God as though everything you have is dependent upon it. Because the truth be known, when you're talking to God, everything God has is at your disposal. Can you imagine that? Every arsenal and weapon that God has is at your disposal. I used to tell God a long time ago, Lord, please watch those that are enemies of mine. I need you to watch over them. I need you to give them health and longevity. I need you to bless them. And the reason why is because, Lord, they don't know that what they're fighting against is you. They're not fighting against me. So, Lord, I don't want to stand in the way of what I know. You're not going to allow them to stand in the way of what they're trying to do to me. But, Lord, I don't want to stand in the way of what you're trying to do to them. Y'all missed that. Let me hit rewind. In other words, I know that if you got enemies and people that don't like you, you don't have to focus on that, because understand, they can't do anything with you, because when God places his hand on you, God has a unique way of protecting you and placing you in protective custody, even in the midst of folk that don't like you. But you've got to allow yourself not to get bitter and not get bad. And understand, let God handle what God is going to do with them. Look at somebody, tell them, I know that's right. I ain't got time to be hating people. I ain't got time to be disliking people. Life too short. You see, I don't hate anybody. It may be some people I don't like their ways, but I don't have time to hate people, because I understand that God can save them, God can deliver them, and God can allow them to be all that he's calling them to be. So, Lord, I need you to put your hands on them. I need you to touch them, deliver them, bless them, give them health and longevity, because if nothing else, they're going to see how the goodness of God continues to bless my life. So there's the blueprint that you got to have, a petition. Look at somebody and tell them, you got to pray. No, look at somebody else and tell them, you got to pray. In other words, when the enemy comes up against you, you got to know that God lifts up a standard against him. In other words, he gives you a way of escape. But you've got to know that you've been praying. Look at somebody and tell them, have you been praying? Because if you've been praying, you ain't got to talk about your enemies. You ain't got to give your enemies press. You ain't got to deal with that, because God will allow you to keep on rolling. Is there anybody here that knows that God knows how to put you in protective custody? Look at somebody, tell them, I know that's right. So understand, you gotta have petition. I've got to pray. I gotta pray not some days. I've gotta pray every day. Look at somebody, tell them, you gotta pray every day. In other words, when your feet hit the floor, you got to get up. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for one more day. I don't know what today holds, but I do know you hold today. And Lord, I declare in the name of Jesus that no weapon that has been formed against me, it cannot prosper. And Lord, I'm declaring right now that you're allowing healing to take place. You're allowing deliverance to take place. And then if you got to add names, you add the names. Lord, I pray that in the name of Jesus that you would heal this person, deliver this person, and watch over this person. Father, I pray that you touch them and allow their life to be blessed. Favor them, increase them. I pray for Promised Land Church. I pray for every member. I pray for every person that watches us. Bless their life. Increase them, favor them, heal them, deliver them. Keep them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. You got to have a prayer life. Somebody tell me, you got to have a prayer life. It's too much going on for you not to have a prayer life. Come on, look at somebody, testify to them. It's too much going on for you not to have a prayer life. You got to pray. So there is the law of petition. Your blueprint has got to have petitioning. Here's the next thing. There has to be on your blueprint pattern. Shout pattern. It's got to be a pattern. Yeah, it's got to be a pattern. Let me help you out. A pattern, that simply means following a role model that has gone where we have not been. Now, you've got to help assist some folk in getting to a role model. Everybody may not know what a true role model is. A drug dealer ought not be your child's role model. You need to have godly Christian role models that your children and yourself look towards. Okay, let me read Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. I'm reading it in the Message version. I want to read it just from a different perspective. It says, don't drag your feet. Be like those who stayed the course, who committed faith, who stayed the course with committed faith, and then get everything promised to them. In other words, he says, don't be lazy, but be like those who stay the godly course and don't quit. Y'all missed that. Because a lot of people start but don't finish. Look at somebody, tell them, don't you quit. No. Look at somebody else, tell them, don't you quit. You see, God been too good for you to quit. So notice, you got to stay the course. He says, and stay the course, notice, with commitment. Look at somebody shout, with commitment. In other words, don't be wavering. Don't get off the track. You know, some people, they on fire. They be on fire for a week. Oh, they love the Lord. And then you see them 3 weeks later. Girl, you know, it wasn't for me. What you mean it wasn't for you? It wasn't for me. You know, you built different from me. No, you got to stay the course. Well, you know, I saw a person in the church. Or it was somebody online that I saw, and you know, we went to high school together, and I ain't never liked them. You 40 years old. Talking about somebody in high school. Let me help you out. You're immature. You definitely need God. Bible says, don't drag your feet. Be like those who stay the course with committed faith. In other words, there'll be some people, and it does not have to be me, it don't have to be Janine, it don't have to be Evangelist Daniels. It could be some others that are following God, and you can hear it in their discussion, in their walk. They are committed to the faith. Get everything promised to them. Let me help you out. Stop looking at what God is doing for somebody else. Pay attention to what God is doing for you. Don't get jealous of somebody else's race. All of us have our own race that we've got to run. There's the law of pattern. Follow role model. That has gone where we've not been. Okay. In other words, I need somebody that I understand can do for me what I'm unable to do for myself. Let me see if I can do it this way. It was these three guys had a paint company, and this paint company was not doing well. So as a result, two of the partners bailed out of the company, leaving the third with all the debts. And almost, he was at the point of bankruptcy. So the third guy began to ask the customers and the other people who were around him why they didn't buy paint from him. He said, "I just want to know. You used to buy paint. Why you stop?" People said, "Well, we don't like your colors. We want paint we can mix and match in order to make colors that we like." So this third guy, by the name of Sharon, took the idea and business proposal to his banker, a guy by the name of Mr. Williams. Showed Mr. Williams the idea. Mr. Williams thought it was innovative, so he did not let the bank deal go through. What he decided to do, he financed the deal himself. As a result, you have Sherwin Williams painting stores all across the country, all because there was a pattern that was followed, and somebody said, "You know what? If you just do it this way, we'll support you." Let me see if I can help somebody out. Don't you dare allow where you think you are determine where you're going, because God knows how to take you higher than you ever imagined. You just got to keep on praying and keep on being in God and watch God work for you. So there's the law of petition in your blueprint. Secondly, there's the blueprint you got to have on the day we discovered. You got to have pattern. Follow role model that has gone where we've not been. Stop allowing your children to see or follow these ungodly models. You know, they sitting there talking about some Scarface. That ain't no role model your children need to have. You go in their room and they got all these posters of all these gangsters on the wall. I got a word for you, because whatever they got posters of, that's what they're going to be. And then you want to bring him, want to tell me at 21 years old, when he turned 21, "I can't do nothing with him. Help me, Pastor." No, you should have started helping him at 12 years old. You should have started developing and forming him at 6 and 7 years old by allowing him to be in church. You should have told him, "No, you're going to sit right here next to me. You ain't moving, and you better not go to sleep. You're going to get you some friends of your own, and y'all going to sit back down the back row, and you better not act a fool. If I catch you acting a fool, I'm going to come over there, and I'm going to embarrass everybody on the row." You've got to learn. Listen, your children don't have a choice whether they're going to be in church. I didn't have a choice of whether I'm going to learn. I determined to be somebody someday. I didn't have a choice of learning my Easter speech and my Christmas speech. My choice was, you better learn this speech. Now we giving our children choice. You want to be in a Christmas program? You want an Easter speech? No, you ain't got no choice. You better learn this and not embarrass me. You're going to memorize that speech. Don't get your big tail self up there, 16 years old, talking about some born again. Born again are the new leaves in the spring. Everybody in the house holler, spring. Spring. Now you ain't got no choice, because I don't know what God is developing you to be. And I want to give you all that you can be. I want to give you everything you need to be developed. I had no idea I was going to be a preacher, a pastor, but God was giving me everything I needed along the way. I didn't have a choice whether I wanted to be the recording secretary. The job opened up and they said, Lil Shelton gonna do it. I didn't have a choice of whether I was gonna teach Sunday school at 16 years old. It wasn't a teacher, so they said, Lil Shelton be here. He going upstairs. He can teach the younger kids. I didn't have a choice of whether or not I was gonna be a Cub Scout. I just was in and into Cub Scout. Now, and I didn't like being outside. I'd fake an asthma attack every time they was gonna spend the night somewhere. But I had to learn the arts and craft. You got to know your child ought not have a choice. The choice is you gonna do it.
Okay. We got these new parents, so y'all mad at me. I know you sitting there sour. You didn't turn. You was sitting this way. Now you turn this way on me. I saw you. Mm-hmm. That's the law pattern. Follow you a role model that has gone where we've not been. Here's number six. In your blueprint, you need to have profession. Got to have profession. What profession says is, I have to say what I believe and not waver. Okay, let me see if I can get through this in the next few minutes. The law of profession says, I say it, I believe it, and I don't waver. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, it says this way in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. Now notice what he says in verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Look at somebody, tell them that's why you can't quit. Because you don't know what God is blessing you with if you just keep on going. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Let me read this scripture. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So notice when I profess death and life, they're right here in my tongue. I have the power. So when I confess negative thoughts, I'm giving it power and bringing it to life. So many of us, we give negativity power by what we say. You've got to learn how to not be negative about situations. Okay. So there's the law of profession. I have to say what I believe and not waver. In other words, there's some situations that can only change by what I say. But watch this. What I say may add to a bad situation. That's why you can't just say the first thing that comes to your mind. That's why you got to condition your mind to see things differently than how you've seen them in the past. So I have to say what I believe and not waver, because death and life are in the power of my tongue. If you always talk about you sick, chances are you're going to be sick. But if you change that, get up in the morning and tell God, thank you. I'm alive and well. Nothing hurts on my body. Notice your body will soon get in line with what you're saying. Let me close it up this way. So you got petition. We learned about petition. We learned about pattern. We learned about profession. Here's the last one. Progression. In your blueprint, there has to be progression. Shout progression. Got to be progression. And progression is the consistency in my walk, my talk, and actions will produce the desired results. My trust is in God to produce. Let me read these scriptures and then I'm gonna close out on this. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. I'm reading from the Message version. In the Message version, Mark chapter 4, verse 26, it says, then said Jesus,
God's kingdom is like seed thrown on a field by a man who then goes to bed and forgets about it. The seed sprouts and grows. He has, the man that threw it, has no idea how it happened. The earth, the next verse says, the earth does it all without his help. First a green stem of grass, then a bud, then the ripened grain. When the grain is fully formed, he reaps harvest time. Okay. Let me reread it because some of y'all didn't get it. He says, God's kingdom is this way. It's like a seed thrown on a field by a man who goes to bed. In other words, there are some thoughts that we throw out. You got to be careful, because if they're negative thoughts, negative things grow from them. But when you throw out positive things, the atmosphere and the earth is conducive enough to allow what you've thrown out as positive to begin to grow. We don't know how it happens, but the atmosphere and the earth has a timing season on it. And when it begins to start growing, you scratching your head trying to figure out how in the world did that happen? When it happened, because you trusted God enough and God made it happen. Look at somebody, tell them God is getting ready to make it happen. You see, my trust is in God to produce. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. I gotta read all these. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Man, I could close right there and just run all over this place. Because you got to be confident of this very thing, that he which started the work is able to perform the work that he started. Okay. See, many of you don't understand that when you trust in God, you got to be confident in what looks like nothing is really God working something out of the nothing. Because understand, all of us came here as babies. None of us showed up to the earth as full-blooded grown humans. All of us started as babies, as babes. But notice, whether you got pictures or not, you started from somewhere, and look at where you are now. When you look at your hands and look at your fingertips and look at your arms and your legs, you got to understand you started from a seed, and look at you now. If God can do that for your body, certainly he can do that for the rest of the things you're believing him for. Okay. Notice, he's being confident. Okay, Philippians 3. I want to read two versions and then I'm up out of here. Philippians chapter 3, it says in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me, reaching forth unto those things which are before me, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I'm pressing toward the mark. Now, I'm forgetting those things that happened behind me. It was a lot that happened. I don't have time to tell you, Paul was shipwrecked. Paul was beaten. Paul was placed in prison. I don't have time to expound on all that, but he's saying, I'm forgetting all of that because I'm pressing forward. Okay. Notice, he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let me look at it from the Message version, and then we'll go home. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. And I'm reading from the Message version. Listen to what it says. He says, I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I've made it, but I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, Promised Land, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus Christ. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. I'm done. But notice, progression says, I take one step and I keep putting one step in front of another. Somehow, I don't know how, it don't look like much now, but God has a unique way of allowing us to get to our destiny in the kingdom of God when we trust him. 2003, I want to take you back, 2004, New Year's Eve night. I'd written this, at that time, it was an extensive proposal for our church. And let me say this. I don't want anybody to think I'm bragging or being arrogant. I'm telling you, I'm just saying what I gotta say. 2003, 2004, New Year's Eve night, I'm sitting there, I've written this proposal for our church, I've outlined what all the church is gonna do. And when I say when a train comes off a track, derailment, after I did it, it was pure derailment. I'm being nice when I say that. Derailment is probably the nicest word I can use. Everything, the wheels came off. I'm talking about, you name it, it happened. Just derailment, just total derailment. And I'm sitting there wondering myself. I'm like, Lord, you gave me, I know when God speaks. I know the difference in God speaking and Elliot wanting something. I'm clear. When Elliot wants something, I say, this is what God I feel is leading me. But when it's God, I'm certain on when God speaks. Nobody can tell me anything. When God speaks, I understand God's voice. I know God's voice. I wrote that plan out and I presented it that night, had on this, I'll never forget that night. It was a three piece. Y'all remember that shark skin gray shiny suit. Boy, I was sharp that night. Had on some gray gaiters. I'm talking about I was sharp that night. And I walked around. That was the first time I used the lapel mic. I walked around and I had, boy, I'm talking about I was doing a doggone thing. I was talking on behalf of God. And when I say after that, everything derailed. I mean it derailed. I mean the boxcars came apart, not just off the tracks. They came apart. And I had to go back to God. I said, Lord, I know I heard your voice. Why would you set me up and then allow folk to treat me the way they are treating? They're laughing at me. They are talking about me. They are putting rumors out about me. They are saying this, that, and the third about me. They are talking about me in ways that I wish I could defend myself. He said, you be silent. You keep preaching the word of God. The day will come that all that you said is going to come to pass. He said, but you keep on doing what you're doing. It will come to pass. It ain't going to be in the timing that you said, but it's going to come to pass. You just keep on preaching the word. I said, Lord, I understand. But he said, you better not say a word. He said, the day will come. Everything will unfold. Folk will see it was me. Ladies and gentlemen, when I tell you, when I revisited and started thinking about all that the Lord has done here at this church, with everything that has occurred, listen, I understand one thing, that it wasn't nobody but God. I got a word for somebody that may be going through, and you're trying to figure out how in the world is God going to do it. Well, you just keep on getting up. You put it out there and keep on doing what God has assigned for you to do. And what's God work in your life? What's God do for you? The incredible and the impossible. What's God line up the resources and the people that you need to do all that he's assigned and called for you to do? You just got to keep on trusting God. I'm done, but somebody needs to know that where you are right now, don't you dare give up. Don't you dare turn around. Don't you dare think God can't use you and is not using you, because God can use you even in your brokenness and your failures. That God can use you regardless of what you're going through. That God can use you in spite of people walking out on you. That God will use you in spite of what folk have said about you. Somebody needs to know that God knows how to use you. I'm done. I'm finished. End of sermon.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free, USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll free, international callers. 1-888-201-5313.